Good evening to everyone out there. This is PK, and this is the Watkins Award. And certainly today is Monday, July the 5th. And can you believe it? It is our 23rd edition of the Watkins Award. We started on January 25th, our inauguration show with our first guest, Darnell Dinkins. And today, man, if I had to say, I got a special guest today, which is every week. Every week we got a special guest, but this special guest is none other than Drew Davis, a 2007 Watkins Award honoree. And of course, you know, I like to say that my sidekick is somewhere near me, but you know, my sidekick, you never know about Mr. Pearsall. He's somewhere gallivanting about a highway or something. You don't know where. Oh, there he is, Mr. Pearsall. You know, I was starting the show without you. I didn't know what was going on. How you doing there, Mr. Pearsall?
My parachute got caught in a tree, and I was trying to drop in and land, and, you know, I was dangling there a little bit longer than anticipated, so I'm here.
Well, Mr. Pearsall, as I mentioned to everyone, you know, I always welcome everyone to our show. And as I told them, today is, you know, our 23rd edition. Can you believe it, Mr. Pearsall?
23rd? Are you kidding me?
23rd. And the first one started out, as you know, with Darnell Dinkins. And here on the 23rd edition, Drew Davis. A 2007 honoree, but he is the standard bearer. And we're going to talk about that, Mr. Pearsall. But before I even get to talk about that, I do have to do my disclaimer, because, you know, today is one of them days. I got to do a disclaimer today, Mr. Pearsall.
You got to do it.
It's a lot of stuff going on. So the views and opinions of the Watkins Award are the views and opinion of Coach T. Tate and J. Everett Pearsall. Now, if you got a problem, do not blame it on BBS Radio, any of our advertisers or sponsors. Don't blame it on them. Blame it on us. Now, the reason why I have to do that is because there's a lot of things that we say that people just don't believe. They think if Everett and I have been drinking Kool-Aid or you know, some intoxicating drink. But no, that's not the case. What we are doing is really just giving you, the audience, an opportunity to just hear about these incredible scholar athletes. And today, oh my goodness, fasten your seatbelt. If you think you're going to get too much contact in the brain, put a helmet on, fasten your chin strap, because this stuff can give it really can give you a concussion and give you a headache after hearing some of this, because you hear about the bad news all the time. And you know, I'm not trying to pick anyone out, but it's the youth, the African-American youth that you hear a lot of bad news about. You know, speak of Mr. Pearsall, did you hear just recently that some guy who was a football player, they shot at the car or in the car 50 times?
I didn't hear that story.
Man.
Wow.
Then just recently, did you hear this young man who was going into the military? He was starting the military out, and his moms traveled with him. I think they were from Houston. They traveled.
Yes,
with
the story
him,
I do know.
And
yes,
the mom got killed with a stray bullet.
A stray bullet, and that's here. It hits home because that happened here in Annapolis, which is about 15-20 minutes away. In fact, that's where I watched the fireworks yesterday. But that is demoralizing. They had a vigil for her a couple of days ago. Oh, extremely sad. Heartbreaking.
And you know, I don't mean to be just picking spots, but what I'm saying is, if you look around, it's not just one city, one town. It's all over. There's some things going on that's causing some of it, but clearly we can't have these, you know, this type of tragedy or tragedies that are happening in our neighborhoods on the East Coast, on the West Coast, in the South, up North. It doesn't matter. You got all this stuff that's happening, and it's just one bad thing after another. You know, there was a pastor, I don't know why I can't recall. Oh, okay. I remember the sermon he preached. And my memory is okay. It's not the best. But this sermon must be 20 years old, if not older. And the title of his sermon was, "If It Isn't One Thing, It's Another." And man, he went into that sermon, and man, there's some people who just go to a whole nother level. You know, they get into this zone, as athletes talk about. He went into this zone, Pearsall, and this sermon, man, resonated with me not only that day, but it has continuously been something that I have reminded people of. If it isn't one thing, it's another. So, you know, Mr. Pearsall, one of the things I want to do also real quick, I'm looking at the time before our special guest gets in here. And that is, there's some people who help us out, you know, and certainly get involved. Now, I want people to know, you can go by the website, www.naaa.com. You can go to the website, and can you order merchandise yet?
We're getting closer. See, so the button that will allow you to purchase is there. The okay. Merchandise has been selected. Now we have to feed that information into the system. And so, as we've talked about this every week, I'm more excited now than I've ever been. We are very close to giving people the capability of placing their order. Very close.
Okay. Because I'm getting, you know, personally, I'm getting sick and tired of you coming on. And I'm seeing these real nice polo shirts that you're wearing. Here's another one that you have on. You know, I got people in the audience. Now, I do want to say this also. We got a new email address. So I want everyone to come into that email address, because I am taking care of something on our site. It's an opportunity for us to raise money. It's something very special. And Doug, our engineer, he's going to pop it up at some point. But I just want everyone to know, if you send us an email, and you at least in that email, you put the special guest of today's show on that email and say in the email, you want that special gift. Now, the first person who sends that email, now don't go and rush and send it out right now. You got to know what it is first before you can ask for it. But the first person who can, well, no, I shouldn't do it that way. Should I do a random? I get people to send in, and then what we do is print out the email, put them in something, and then select it. Is that better, Mr. Pearsall?
I think that's better. You either do a random or a certain number, select the number, and when, as you go through the emails, the person that hits the number that you select for that particular day gets the prize.
I think it'd be better. You send an email, and then what we're going to do is print it out, and we're going to put it in a container, and then just reach in and grab one. That's the way we'll do it. Now, this special gift is only going to be available, or it's only going to be an opportunity for this to come up to win by the end of the show. So what I'm sorry, let me make it correct. At the end of the show, the opportunity to win will be over with. Okay, we'll close it down at the end of the show. So you can send the email, and then you can, and when you send the email, saying all I'm asking, tell us the name of the guest and that you want this special prize, okay? And here is the prize. Doug, pop it up for us. Let us see it. You might have to make it. Oh, okay. You're going to make, there we go. It's a trading card of Drew Davis in college. Now, I'm going to get one of those trading cards and I'm going to have Drew Davis to actually sign this trading card. We're going to give it away to you. We're going to give it to you. All I ask you to do is consider us for a donation. I don't care how much the donation is. Just send in a donation, and we will take that donation. And of course, that'll be a part of the things that we do. Now, Mr. Pearsall, I know we was talking about the donate button. Thank you, Doug. There's the donate button there. Now.
Correct. Okay. That is correct. This has been up since last week, which is also a purchasing button as well.
Okay. So that person, you can go to the donate button and just donate. So it's no magic to what we ask. We just ask you to go there and make a donation. Now, I'm trying to keep track of the time as well. Now, sponsors. I just want to make sure. Sponsors, you know, people who trying to see us work, do what we do. Nothing comes to Mr. Pearsall or I. This is all volunteer work. All of the board members, everybody is just pitching in the best way they can. So I want to recognize Joe's Crab Pot. Now, Joe's Crab Pot. I got some serious food. And, you know, I can't believe I forgot, but I want to make sure that I recognize JMA Solutions, because we know how important they have been to us. I want to Exotic Car Sharing. I want to, you know, Ward Law Office, J.C. Loftins. You know, I'm going to get on J.C. Lofton. That's your guy. I'm going to get on your guy. Auto Quick Lube, Magic Waste Valet. We want to recognize these guys and let them know that, hey, we appreciate everything that you do for us. And Joe's Crab Pot also has Joe's Food Truck. You might see Mr. Pearsall running behind that truck every once in a while, you know, getting him a sandwich or some ribs. He loves ribs. I'm not giving no. You got a favorite spot. Yeah. Yeah, well, I ain't even going to talk about it, but they owe me a sweet potato pie. Yeah. I went by there and they left out my sweet potato pie. I'm not going to call them out, but I'm going to go get my sweet potato pie. That's what Mr. Pearsall always get. He gets his ribs, then he gets a slice of sweet potato pie. And he knows I was looking for that. So, Mr. Pearsall, after getting all that done, you know, I want to say, you know, the National Alliance of African American Athletes is an organization. It's an organization. And we always talk about part of the organization is the Watkins Award. And the Watkins Award is an award that was named in honor of the founder of the National Alliance of African American Athletes. unfortunately, an untimely death provided us with the inspiration to say we got to find something to do in his honor. And what was done was the Watkins Award. Now, Mr. Pearsall, we talk about a lot of things, but tell me about this community service thing with the Watkins Award, because you talk about grades, you talk about athletic ability, a 4 or 5-star athlete having a minimum of a 3.3 GPA. So let's talk about community service. Tell me about it.
Well, community service is the cornerstone with which we look for in the character of the individual that we are recognizing for the Watkins Award. Because at the end of the day, if that individual in and of himself is all about himself and not giving back, he is really not the person that we're looking to honor. The community service portion is extremely important to us. And so we look at it very closely to make sure that, you know, it's been covered. Where individuals have volunteered for, how many hours, what they've done to give back. Because again, I'll say it again, you know, if you are at the top of the mountain and not willing to pull the next person up that mountain, you're really not the type of person that we're looking for and looking to honor.
Man, that's awesome. Now, here's what I want to set up today, because I know a lot of times we get caught up in the time. But I'm going to set something up before our guest gets here. Drew Davis. I mean, Drew Davis is a young man that was a 2007 honoree. And Drew grew up, you know, like most kids, in, you know, a place where there's problems. He grew up in Denver, Colorado. So don't think because you live in Baltimore, Philly, Chicago, LA, that they don't have problems in Denver. They have problems as well. But this young man was an extraordinary athlete at Montebello, I'm thinking of something else, but Montebello High School, just an awesome student athlete. But let's talk about the character of this young man. You don't have to take my words, because there are thousands of articles that are typically written on Watkins Award honorees, thousands of articles. Now, we talked about just earlier, I said something about a standard bearer. So tell me what let us know what the standard bearer is, Mr. Pearsall.
That's a great question. And so, again, we call it the standard bearer. And what it really comes from is a military concept that if anyone saw that first movie that Denzel Washington was known for, and those guys were charging up the hill, well, one guy carried the flag. And as they charged up the hill to attack the enemy and take the mountain, if that person carrying the flag were to go down for any reason, the next person will grab that flag and continue the battle against the enemy with which it is assaulting. And so that's called the standard bearer. And we feel like the individual that gets the trophy for the Watkins Award is like the standard bearer. And as much as there are a team or a group of individuals in that given year that represent the Watkins Award, and every one of them represent the Watkins Award well. There's a person that keeps that class together and theoretically communicates within the class and then to the others and other classes as well. Just kind of keep the communication going and kind of keep the solidarity around what the Watkins Award is all about. And again, that's a very strong bond that they all have. But that's the concept of what the standard bearer is and the person who gets the trophy for the Watkins Award.
You know, we talked about peer pressure as well, and you got positive and negative peer pressure. And the Watkins Award, you know, and within that community, we want to believe that the peer pressure is all positive. So, as I mentioned, you got thousands of awards or thousands of articles that, and some of these guys got thousands of awards as well, but you got thousands of articles on these guys. So I'm just reading, and looking. And I find an article on Drew Davis that absolutely blew my mind. And I want the audience to hear this. And any young man or any person, adult, who is thinking about recommending a young man as a candidate for the Watkins Award, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to talk about. Now, you can go online and you can find this article, and we're going to post this article online as well, so you can just click it and go to it. So you look, as I mentioned, we already did a disclaimer, because a lot of times people don't believe this stuff. I had already told people, put their helmets on, fasten your chin strap, because they could get a concussion listening to this stuff. You know, a lot of this is crazy. But here's what we got right here. It was just one and an endless string of touchdowns in the greatest season in Oregon football history. So, yes, we have Drew Davis, who comes out of Denver, Colorado, and he goes to Oregon. Everybody knows that. If you don't know who Oregon is, then we're going to give you an opportunity to do some research while I'm telling you about this article. DJ Davis caught a 19-yard TD pass to give the Ducks a 23-7 lead over rival Oregon State. And that's a huge game. You talk about the Texas A&M game. You talk about the Georgia-Florida game or the Alabama-Auburn game. This Oregon-Oregon State game is a huge game. The next day, the Oregonian newspaper ran a huge picture of Drew celebration. But latched onto his belt of the Montebello gray was a picture of Daquan Sullivan. Now, this was a 20-year-old Notre Dame student who died just before the game in October. So, you know, here this game was taking place in December. This kid died in October, on October the 27th, as a matter of fact, when the tower from which he was filming an Irish, we're talking about Notre Dame, practice blew over during a windstorm. So you got a young man that's trying to get his degree. He's filming the practice. A windstorm comes, it blows over. And Drew Davis never met this kid. And he certainly isn't a Notre Dame fan. I'm talking about Drew. He isn't a Notre Dame fan. He bleeds Oregon and or the Ducks. So what made this stand out from Denver or Drew to pay attention to someone he didn't even know? No one knew except for Drew. And he might tell us some other little things, because I know I'm hashing up a memory. But once the photograph ran, fans wanted to know the story of whom Davis was honoring. And anybody who's been around him, I'm telling you, ask all his schoolmates, classmates, he is a caring guy. And this is his dad saying this, but clearly everybody knows this. So, okay, Monday, the BCS championship game between Auburn, which was 13-0, and Oregon, who was 12-0, is filled with All-American players. Drew, a senior, is the biggest hero in this game to many who don't even care who win this game. Now, he is certainly a hero to the special education students he tutored while in high school. The high school librarian also was grateful because Drew went around the community collecting books. And even one of the rival team player, Drew was tutoring this guy. You talk about community service. And the list goes on and on and on. And I mean, this guy was doing so much in his community, and he was uplifted. Remember, we say that these guys gotta be all about community service. They have to be leaders. And so this neighborhood, I want everyone to know, wasn't one of these cream puff neighborhoods. He grew up around some bad guys in Denver as well. And Drew used sports like most of us. He used sports to stay out of trouble and stay out of the games when he was coming through high school. So I'm going to just stop there because Drew represents the highest, because even since his public display in the memory of the kid Sullivan, the guy, he has gotten to know Sullivan's brother, Max, and through him has gotten to know the Klon story. Someday, Drew hopes to be able to help people such as the Klon's family get through a tragedy. He has already earned, or at that time, he earned enough credits to get his degree, and he finished his degree in 3.5 years. Let's say no more. I mean, man, this guy, Drew Davis, you know, a lot of people, I didn't even mention the fact that Drew is a former Atlanta Falcons player who could walk around, go to any store, do anything. Nobody even knew who he was. He went to work. He came home. He went about his day like a normal guy. People didn't even know who the heck, I wanted to use another word, but didn't know who the heck Drew Davis was. Let me introduce no other than Drew Davis. How are you doing, sir? Welcome to the Watkins Award Show.
I'm doing awesome, fellas. It's great to be on, and it's great to see you too.
Man, you know, it had me in an emotional whirlwind just knowing that when I first met you, when you were still in high school, that your personality was so humbled. I mean, man, it was unbelievable how you were conducting yourself. Oh, we in for a break already. Boy, I tell you, that dub don't play. So, hey, we got a little break coming in. On the other side,
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Exotic Car Sharing by Curvy Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Yeah, we're back. You're here on the Watkins Award Show. We appreciate you coming in. You're here with Coach T. Tate, J.R. Pearsall, and our special guest, Drew Davis. And Drew, I was just asking you, man, you know, you were just as humble as one could be when I first met you in high school. You know, I haven't asked anyone this question, but what makes you so humble, Drew?
Man, I just think it's my upbringing. I think it's a combination of my dad and mom, how hard they work, how much they tell me to, you know, treat the person that cleans up the building just like the person that runs the building. And when you live your life like that and you go through day to day like that, you're going to end up in a pretty good place. So it's just about being surrounded by great people and a great upbringing, I would have to say.
Well, Drew, when you was in, you know, I normally start in middle school, but you get to high school. What's going on? I mean, we all want to know what was special about your parents, your household. What kept you focused on these grades before you figured this thing out could get you a free education?
I think the first thing is my dad's African, so they don't play that. You bring home anything less than an A, you got a problem. So that'll be starting there. Secondly, it was just going seeing my parents go get up and go to work every day and still, you know, make it to my games and be able to provide for me, my brothers, and my sisters. But then also, I just think we just lived in a household where it was okay to, you know, do sports and do school, where it was okay to be somebody else outside of sports, go make a difference in other people's lives. It was just something that was ingrained in us and allowed us to do to make us see the good in life and the good in other people as well.
So at your high school, I mean, look, it doesn't matter what high school you go to in America, but at your high school, you getting bombarded with all these phone calls, letters, these coaches. Now, all of a sudden, the rubber meets the road. You got to choose a school to go to. What made you decide? Because I'm sure the University of Colorado was really on your heels. They wanted you. They weren't going to let you get out of the state. But you go to Oregon. What puts you in Oregon?
I just think we just sat down and looked at everything. I knew I kind of wanted to get away from Colorado, go grow up a little bit. Though I love my family and my friends, I think that was a major part for me. I've never been out of Colorado for an extended period of time. And so I think that weighed heavily. But just also just fell in love with the place. I ended up taking a trip to Oregon just to go check out all the Nike stuff. And me and my high school coach kid around a little bit, and I always say Nike University instead of University of Oregon. So just being a part of something different, something special, always loved the Pac-10. And you know, now it's called the Pac-12, so I feel really old. But just being able to do something different, wear some cool uniforms, and I'd be remiss to say if I didn't think we were going to win some Pac-12 championships and play in a national championship. But around that time, Coach Kelly had just got hired there, and they were doing something really good. Dennis Dixon is going to have his senior campaign the upcoming year. So it's just everything just aligned, and it just worked out for the best.
Well, you get to Oregon. I know you went by a couple of campuses before you got there. Man, what is it like to be out there on that campus? I mean, that's one campus I have not been to. Mr. Pearsall, I know, you know, he would tell me, hey, I'm headed out. You know, you going? I say, I can't make it. I can't make this one, Pearsall. So tell me, what is your impression when you, because you see all these colors you just mentioned, the University of Nike. I mean, man, what? How could you get out there and say no anyway when you get to that campus?
I mean, it's like I said, it takes a special person to go out there. It's not the biggest town and it's definitely not the smallest. But once you get around there, around the campus, around the facility, around the stadium, you definitely feel the love. You definitely feel the fandom that's there. It rains a lot there. And so when it's not raining and the sun is out, the foliage is very green. It reminded me a little bit of Denver. So it was a combination of things, but it was just also just a place you felt comfortable, a place you didn't feel out of place. And it was a place I wanted to spend the next 3 to 5 years of my college career and play some football and get an education as well.
Well, I don't mean to make this sound like you are a chameleon, but you are. So you leave Oregon, with all that limelight, which is like being on a professional football team. I mean, man, how many uniforms? Well, I'm not going to ask you, but I know y'all had a bunch of uniforms. But how you leave there and you end up in Atlanta, best place in the world. I mean, I get a chance to see you. I get a chance to go to games, hang out with you after the games. But you, help me to understand this. How are you able to be an Atlanta Falcon? You are part of the Falcons. How are you able to play for the team and live a normal life? Nobody knows who the heck you are. I'm showing pictures to people, and they asking me, who is this? You know, you and I would take pictures after the game. Mr. Pearsall would take the pictures. Thank you, Mr. Pearsall. And I would show these to my friends who I thought was real Falcons fans. They would look at it and say, well, who is that's one of your ball players? Yeah, but you don't know who this is? And I would have to tell, how do you do it, Drew?
Honestly, that's the way I like it, man, to be able to go into work and be able to kind of just stick out by fitting in, I guess you could say. But, you know, football isn't something that, you know, defines me. It's something I technically do. And it also helps when you have a guy like Julio Jones is drafted the same year that people aren't going to know about you. So I just kind of fly under the radar and try to just follow what Julio does. But just knowing that he came in and he was the man and he was the guy that was going to lead the team, all I did was have to just do my job and kind of be there and show up on time.
Well, you know, I start with this, Drew, and I let Mr. Pearsall take over. Here's, you know, you leave the Falcons. I mean, you quietly left the Falcons. You quietly are moving on with your life. You are the quintessential of a scholar and a gentleman. You are a bona fide scholar athlete. You were selected to be the guy to control. You got this big, heavy trophy with you. So how do you come to a big school like UCLA now? And you are, I think I was looking, you're the director of player development. So how do you use the mindset that you have to get these guys, doesn't matter whether they are Caucasian, African-American, Asian, doesn't matter who they are, because what your job is to focus on their character. So how do you do this in such a quiet way? And I guarantee you 99% of the players don't know who the real Drew Davis is.
I would have to agree with you. I think a lot of it's just building that relationship with them, finding out what they're passionate about and then having them chase their dreams. But you just find a common ground to be on them with. You know, you might not be able to touch everyone, but you try to be there as much as you can, whether it's training table, after practice, in the treatment room, in the cold tub, in the hot tub, in the meeting rooms. And you just continuously are there until, you know, something might be wrong with them. And then you give them a nudge and you say, hey, there's this community service we have that I want you to come to that I think would be really beneficial. And so once you build that relationship and that rapport with them, I think they're a little bit more receptive to saying, hey, this guy's looking out for me. He has my best interests at heart, and he's trying to look out for me off the field, even as well as on the field.
Well, you know, I hope UCLA knows the diamond, not in the rough. The diamond has already been buffed up, certainly is shining, that they have on that campus, that clearly you're going to help them to raise their, you know, and I know UCLA doesn't have a problem with their graduation rate, but it's going to go to a whole nother level. You're going to send guys out of there that are men. They're going to come into the school as boys, but you're going to send them out as men, because I know Drew Davis. And Drew Davis, thank you so much for being the person that you have been in life, man. I mean, God bless you for everything that you have done.
Thank you, guys. I greatly appreciate it, and I appreciate everything you guys have poured into me as well.
Mr. Pearsall, he's all yours.
Drew Davis, a.k.a. Mr. Davis, a.k.a. DJ Davis, a.k.a. Double D, a.k.a. Mr. Mile High, a.k.a. Mr. Oregon Duck, a.k.a. Mr. Atlanta Falcon, a.k.a. Mr. Reliable, a.k.a. Mr. Shorthands. Welcome to the show, the Black Duck. How are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome. I definitely have to say that's the best introduction I've ever had in my life. So I appreciate that, Eve.
Oh, man, you deserve it. You deserve it. Man, I talked to Marcus yesterday, and I said, you know, Marcus, I'm honored to bring on Drew. And to understand that way back in 2007, I got that knock on the door and that phone call from Marcus, who is a Watkins from the year 2000. And he said, man, I've been looking and searching, and I've been searching and looking, and I've been digging and making sure that whoever I bring to the table deserves to be brought to the table. And I'm like, Marcus, don't do it. I've heard it before. He said, man, I got a guy. You got to look at him. Already being on the list of individuals that were the top athletes in the country, he said, you got to look at all the other things that he stands for. He said, this guy is just like me. And that was saying a heck of a lot. It forced me to go on the internet to make some phone calls and obviously to know that someone the caliber of a Marcus Houston wouldn't bring anyone to the table that didn't deserve to be in the brotherhood that he took so seriously. And so knowing that Marcus was behind you meant a lot. Then I got an opportunity to meet all of your family when we came there, and going to the games through the years has been incredible. But also knowing how tough it is in Denver and knowing all the things that, you know, Marcus and Palika and his entire family went through, and then getting an opportunity to come there and meet you in the neighborhood with which you grew up, and when you weren't over the Houston's house, there were a lot of things that were pulling you in the wrong direction, and yet you persevered. Tell me how you maintain the status of being this powerhouse of a football player that could play any position on the field and yet stay focused on your grades and doing the things in the community to give back and uplift others. How did you do it?
I think, like I said before, my parents played a big part, but anytime I go talk to children, or I'm talking to our 18 to 23-year-old young men at UCLA, I said I had a great friend group too. You know, we got in a little bit of trouble here and there, but you know, when somebody might have been straying off or going this way or, you know, not going to class, we also had those people that say, nah, man, we can't do that today. We got a test to go take. And I think that was more telling of me, because, you know, you associate with who you pretty much are, like who you kind of along that line, and you toe that line of people that are similar to you. And knowing that I had people who know how to have fun and then at the same time work hard and get stuff done, they definitely had a big effect on me for being able to do all that I do in the community and school and football. And those guys I'm still very close with today, and I let them know that as well, that they are a big reason why I am where I'm at.
Real powerful to talk about the people around you and the influence that you've made on them and that they've made on you. And we always talk about the fact that if you just look at the persons that you hang around, it's a reflection of who you are. Tell me one or two of the biggest obstacles that you had to overcome in obviously doing what you said you wanted to do, which is take a look at maybe using football as an opportunity to branch out of Colorado. What are some of the one of the biggest obstacles that you had to overcome?
Honestly, it's funny because as I was a high school or middle school, I didn't think the hardest thing was to get to the NFL, like from college to the NFL. I thought the hardest thing was to get from high school to college, to get colleges and notice you. And at my high school, you know, I wasn't even probably in the top 100 athletes to graduate from Montbello High School in Denver, Colorado. But, you know, like Tyrone talked about, you get distracted with, you know, whether it be women or gangs or drugs. And those are some of the things my parents tried very hard to keep me away from. I was always doing something, doing a sport, at home studying there, making sure I was at where I was supposed to be, which is a very big thing. But it, like I said, it's about having that foundation of knowing what's expected of me. And like I said, I couldn't even bring home B's, and that was pretty hard at times where you're like, man, this AP history class is very hard, Dad. I got a B plus. Nah, you got to get an A. And so that's probably at the top of the list of things, is just, you know, because we know you can do, you know, 3 or 4 years of great things, and it only takes a 5-minute decision to mess up all of that. So being able to stay on track that whole time and to have people that supported me and were there and gave me everything that I needed to succeed was definitely a great asset to me.
Excellent. Now, you know, I flew into Portland and drove down to Eugene as often as I could to get an opportunity to feel that energy, because I've had guys that played at other schools and they said, you really haven't been to a game unless you've been to a game up in Oregon. And you guys were known for the energy in the stadium. You know, everyone there really kind of tried to pour their excitement into you. You had me sitting on the front row where I had people calling me saying, I see where you're sitting. Is that his sister? All kinds of stuff. And so it was a lot of fun. But when you take a look at that community, I also noticed that there were a group of guys. They did a great job of at least incubating you amongst the football players. But how did you become a leader among those men? A lot of great athletes with a lot of big egos. How did you lead those men?
I think we were all leaders in our own respect. And I wouldn't say I was leading them fully. But I'm just a person who leads by example. So I'm not going to sit up here and poke out my chest and tell you what we need to do and tell you what I've done. I'm just going to be the person that shows up there, you know, 30 minutes before we're supposed to be there. And while you're headed out, I'm still doing, getting work in, looking at film and things like that. And when my class went in there, we're one of the best classes that Oregon had recruited up to that point. And, you know, now they've had monster classes that come in there. So I say that kind of with a little low voice and a low whisper. But there's definitely some reason why it was a special group. You know, we had some guys who weren't the most talented, but they were overlooked. They worked hard. They had a chip on their shoulder. And when you put a group of guys like that together and they push each other and they keep each other accountable, the sky is the limit. And that's kind of what we showed at Oregon. And you bring us a great coach with an innovative offense like Coach Kelly. And, you know, you want to get guys out there gassed and winded. And, you know, you want to score up to close to 100 points and leave people gasping. So it was just a combination of all things coming together at the right time. But our senior class every year, we went to a better bowl game. First year went to the Sun Bowl. Next year went to the Holiday Bowl. Third year we played in the Rose Bowl. Last year was national championship. So as you look at that, we progressed each year until we reached the pinnacle. And I think, you know, starting off at the Sun Bowl, not to dog it out or anything, but I said, I'm never going back to El Paso in my life. And so that's something I took control of in my career. And I could do that for the hard work I put in on a daily basis as well.
Excellent. Now, thinking about from the time I had an opportunity to meet you in high school, coming to see you at Oregon, obviously coming to see you when you played with the Falcons with the great Justin Blaylock as well, who was there to usher you in and block while you were there on the offense performing. And even up until now, where you actually coached at UCLA with Vince Ogbasi, another Watkins guy. What has the Watkins Award meant to you?
It's meant a lot to me. You know, it's connected me. Football's always been a connector. You're always one degree of separation away from a lot of people. But there's just something about, you know, when I ask you for a phone number for somebody and all I have to do is say, hey, what's up, my Watkins man? They don't even have to know who is texting them. They just know, hey, it's somebody associated with the Watkins and they good people. So I need to text them back and pick up this phone call. But it's just opened up a lot of doors and it's opened up a lot of insight to see, you know, how many people we do have that performed on a level collegially, performed on a level professionally, and are also doing great things in their careers right now. It's meant a lot. And, you know, I don't say that loosely, but when I talk about the Watkins Award to people and their eyes kind of open up and they say, wow, I didn't know that about you. It's not something I go around boasting about or gloating about or anything like that. But it's something that I felt, you know, was great to have on my resume, but just was also a great reflection of my time in high school and how much work I put in on and off the field and in the community. And that there was an award that recognized that, that I was lucky to be chosen and nominated in my class to represent that as a whole.
Awesome, man. And we're proud to have you as part of what we call the Watkins family. Now, you know, when you were at Oregon, I know for a fact, you guys used to go back in the community and do a ton of things, giving back and helping the kids in that local community understand that you weren't just there to play football. You wanted to make a positive impact. You did the same thing when you were with the Falcons. You've been engaged in a number of endeavors. Tell us and tell our listening audience, what are you doing right now and some of the exciting things that you have on the horizon?
Right now, still just making sure my athletes at UCLA are taken care of. I have a passion for reading, so making sure literacy is a really big one as we come through, and for the younger kids who might not know the power and the strength that can give you in educationally. But continue to mentor people. I had a great mentor in Palika Houston where, you know, I would go work out on a Saturday and Sunday at a park at 6, 7, 8 a.m. And after that, I spend the whole day with their family, watching football, watching sports, cooking some on the barbecue, and just knowing how to cultivate that relationship and what it did for me, that there are some people out there that might not have people to look up to or to invest time in them. So those are pretty much the three things that I'm really passionate about, some things that I'm looking for to get off the ground in a more effective avenue and a little bit more far reaching. But just focus on my athletes right now. I'm looking forward to have a spectacular year with UCLA with our Jordan logo Jumpman on the front of that jersey.
All right, all right, all right. Now, you've said a lot to inspire. I know that the parents, the brothers, the cousins, the kids themselves that tune into our show all over the world, if you had one or two sentences to leave as a parting sentence of inspiration for someone's daughter, someone's son, someone that is really looking for you to kind of say, hey, you know, what should I do? What should I say? What's something I could sort of meditate on? What would be that one or two sentences you would say to that youth?
I would say the shortcut to success is hard work. We live in a day where there's instant gratification, where you can heat up something, put it in the microwave, and it'll be done. If you want to do really great things and really challenging things, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes grit. So don't be upset when it doesn't happen right away. You know, bamboo takes a long time to grow. It takes up to 3 or 4 years until it really starts to grow and flourish. So my thing is, water the bamboo. Know that it's growing even though you can't see it. So all that you're doing underneath is going to come to fruition one day. So keep working hard, keep putting your best foot forward, and keep some great people around you to keep pushing you and keep motivating you.
Excellent. UCLA is lucky to have you, my brother. If they didn't know it, they have grown to know it. I'm so proud of you and everything that you've done, and you've always been an incredible representation of what the Watkins Award is all about. I turn it back over to Coach Tate.
Man, I'm mesmerized. You know, I'm speechless because Drew has always been that humble young man, and now he is, and he always has been a man, but, you know, it's a difference when they come out of high school or they in high school, then you watch him coming through college, you know, and in Drew's case, you know, he had a baby looking face and now he got a beard. I mean, the beard looks good, Drew. I mean, that really is you. That thing is you, man. It really complements who you are. Now, we got to keep it, you know, black, because I know eventually the grades are going to start setting in. You know, dealing with everybody else's kids at their college level, you know how those crumb snatchers can get now. But let me ask you, Drew, when you find yourself in a recruiting mindset, some kid calls you from Denver, or some kid calls you and say, hey, I know Mr. Pearsall. And I know that you and him have a great relationship. What do you tell a kid who is trying to get into a school like UCLA? What's your advice to kids trying to get into a school like that?
I think, first of all, I think getting to school and furthering your education overall is a great thing. I think sometimes we get stuck on a specific school we want to go to. And the truth is, go to the place that wants you, go to the place you want to go, and then go to the place you fit as well. Because if I had it back in my time to go to Oregon, I would have never thought that I was going to go to Oregon. I would never thought I would have been able to call myself a duck. But at the end of the day, go with your gut feeling. And if it's the school you really want to go to, do your due diligence on it, study up on it. Do they have the major that you're thinking about that you want to get into? But at the end of the day, I just think furthering your education in general is a great step to take. And so as long as you're getting that degree and you're putting the work towards getting that degree to make yourself, your family, and your future better, I'm all for it.
Well, people that heard this great story about you, I mean, Everett and I have testified that, you know, you are the real deal, Drew. So how does the listening audience, our fans, how do they find what's going on in Drew's life? What's your social network? Where can they go?
Best thing is LinkedIn is just Drew J. Davis. Instagram will be DJ UCLA, so DEEJAY Davis. And then looking forward to getting some more things off the ground after this summer and going into the winter as well. So, but always Facebook is the same thing, Drew Davis. You can drop me a line or an email. I'm not on there too often, but if you leave me something, I'll be sure to get back to you at some point in time. But those are pretty much the main avenues to get to me. And at the end of the day, you can look up what my work email is and shoot me an email there as well.
Well, we got a card, if the engineer can put it up real quick. I got a card that people can enter to win this card of Drew Davis. There it goes. That's a player's card when you was in college. So when I get that card, I'm going to send it to you and have you personalize it to whoever wins this prize. They got to tell us, first of all, that Drew Davis was on the show, and second of all, that, hey, they entering this prize. Nonetheless, Drew has been an awesome guest and really appreciate it. Man, God bless you. Tell the friends that we said hello. And if there's anything that we can do to help you out, please let us know, because we are family. So, hey, this is Coach T. Tate, the Watkins Award, with none other than Jay Everett Pearsall, as you know him.
All right. Thanks, Drew. West Coast, baby. I see you doing it. Until next Monday.
Thank you all. We're out of here.
Heavy when you see me, don't leave. Falling days in the streets, had homies in the struggle.